This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about changing their mentality. Have they changed their mentality? Let's do a way too early preview of the midterms. What can we be looking at in the midterms? A huge scoop out of Texas. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's discuss briefly what we have going on as it pertains to the left, the communists in this country, because there's a lot of celebrating on our side right now, and that's good. You should be celebrating. You should be happy. I am celebrating. I am happy. But we do need to keep something in mind. They haven't changed. And here's why they haven't changed. They haven't changed anything they believe. They haven't changed anything they think. And they haven't changed because for them, for the American communist, remember, it is a religion. And you don't just give up your religion because you lose an election, because you're on the outs, because the poll numbers happen to look bad and the public is rejecting you. The Democrat Party, according to polling right now, is at an all-time low. All-time. As long as they've been polling parties, the Democrats are in the low 30s. They've never seen numbers like that before. Trump, 52% approval rating. For a president, that's absurd. Country loves it. The country loves Trump. The country hates Democrats. And so the firing of Joy Reid actually brought this home to me. I saw her say this.
I went hard on so many issues, went hard for immigrants who've done nothing but come to this country like my parents did and try to make a life and defended them. Or whether we've talked about what the president is doing that is subversive to the Constitution, that is injurious to our liberty, you know, defending books that people find inconvenient, you know, that Nicole Hannah Jones put into our spirit that we need to understand 1619 as the real founding of this country, whether it's talking about any of these issues, and yes, whether it's talking about Gaza. I'm not sorry. I am not sorry that I stood up for those things, because those things are of God.
Here's a list of bullet points of insane things that I've said. This is me telling you I'm not sorry. And at the end, this is me attributing it to who? God. It's a religion. We are still up against religious zealots, and we have so much work to do in this next 4 years to ensure these people can never come back. And we're going to do a little midterm preview in a while, but I am curious what's going to happen during the midterms, because these people haven't learned anything about what the American people want, about the appetite the American people have for their insanity. I put something up the other day on social media, on Twitter. I was curious about this because I don't personally hang out with any Democrats. Sorry, I'm a partisan. I don't like Democrats. I don't hang out with them. But I know a lot of people do. And a lot of people, maybe you're in a blue area, you can't avoid it. Maybe you're married to one, right? Maybe your mom is one. Maybe your kid is one. A lot of people are in that situation where they hang out with Democrats on some level. And the question I posed was this. Have they expressed any regret at all about arresting their political opponent? Just let's dwell on that for a moment. They arrested their political opponent, charged him with ridiculous felonies, just naked banana republic tyranny. And everyone across the globe, they still talk about what Democrats did to Donald Trump. It looked so bad, raiding Mar-a-Lago. It's awful, it was evil. And everyone with eyes can see it. And I asked, does the Democrat in your life, have they ever said anything that expressed regret about that? None. I think one guy said one thing that, well, the Mar-a-Lago raid made us look bad. Beyond that, I think there were thousands of replies. Oh, my mom's one never said a thing. My mom's one never said a thing. They're still mad I didn't get vaccinated. Not an ounce of regret at all, because they haven't given up their religion. And I don't know that they can. Speaking of Joy Reid, actually, this is a perfect example here. Rachel Maddow works for MSNBC. She works for MSNBC. MSNBC is Rachel Maddow's employer. And not only are they her employer, they pay her millions and millions of dollars. I forget what it is she makes, but it's an absurd amount of money. Don't look it up. You'll just want to bash your head off a desk. Rachel Maddow came out and said this about the Joy Reid firing.
Joy is not taking a different job in the network. She is leaving the network altogether. And that is very, very, very hard to take. I do not want to lose her as a colleague here at MSNBC. And personally, I think it is a bad mistake to let her walk out the door. It is not my call, and I understand that, but that's what I think. I will tell you, it is also unnerving to see that on a network where we've got two, count them, two non-white hosts in primetime, both of our non-white hosts in primetime are losing their shows, as is Katie Fang on The Weeknd. And that feels worse than bad, no matter who replaces them. That feels indefensible, and I do not defend it.
Calling her employer, in not exactly in those words, but calling her employer a racist on the network? It'd be like me showing up here every day and trashing the First. Oh, these dirt balls at the First. What? How could you be so brazen? How could you be so dumb? She's not dumb. She's a religious zealot. And no matter what happens at MSNBC, no matter how big the paychecks are, she's still a believer, you see. And it goes way beyond, because let's move off the media crap. Joy Reid and Rachel Maddow, who gives a crap about them? We have to remember, as the Trump administration tries as hard as they possibly can to clean out the communist filth from inside the government, we have to remember there are so many of these people who are still in extreme positions of power. I realize Brown is no longer chairman of the Joint Chiefs, but keep in mind, like 5 minutes ago, this guy was the top man in the United States military.
I can't fix centuries of racism in our country, nor can I fix decades of discrimination that may have impacted members of our Air Force. I'm thinking about how I can make improvements personally, professionally, and institutionally, so that all airmen, both today and tomorrow, appreciate the value of diversity and can serve in an environment where they can reach their full potential. I want the wisdom and knowledge to lead, participate in, and listen to necessary conversations on racism, diversity, and inclusion.
These people are everywhere. Brown may be gone, but they're everywhere, and they are still working against us. They are not sorry. They're not looking at the poll numbers of Democrats and thinking they should make changes. Remember what Garrett O'Boyle, brave FBI whistleblower, remember what he came on the show and said yesterday about what's happening inside the FBI?
Right out of the gates after he put that forward, 500 headed to Alabama, 1,000 heading out to the field, because they want to clear out the DC apparatchik. That absolutely is what needs to be done. It's a great place to start. But right away, I heard from someone who is in a position to know the details, said that these people are already trying to subvert that order. They said, oh, don't worry about it. We're going to do what we call paper transfers, and we're going to make it look like, yes, we're assigned in Alabama now or wherever else. But in reality, we're going to stay right here and continue our subversive Marxist ways.
We have much work to do, is the point of all this. And we can't back off, and we have to actually be sterner than we've been so far, even after a month. And I've told you, I'm ecstatic. I'm thrilled. I really am. But I saw Kristi Noem came out today and addressed, you remember the ICE raid, maybe you forgot, we had an ICE raid that didn't produce results. They showed up at this apartment complex hoping to arrest a bunch of these dirtballs, and the guys were gone. What happened? Turned out somebody leaked the ICE raid. somebody inside of the federal government leaked the ICE raid so murderers and rapists could avoid arrest. And Kristi Noem came out today and said this.
I have found some leakers. We are continuing to get more. They will be fired. There will be consequences. And remember, when they leak information to the press in order to blow an op, they are putting law enforcement lives in jeopardy. I'm using polygraphs to go after and to really interview these folks. Because we are a national security agency, I have that tool I can use. Also looking at their emails, looking at their communications. And it's amazing how these bureaucrats who have an agenda to stop the work that we're doing to bring safety to America, how they will sell each other down the river if it's just to protect themselves. So don't worry, I am doing everything to find these leakers and to get rid of them so that we can do our work and our law enforcement officers and agents can do it safely.
Firing? We're firing them? Using your position of power inside of the United States government to put the lives of law enforcement agents, law enforcement guys in jeopardy, while also ensuring that rapists and murderers can continue to roam free and pillage this country like the animals they are. And the consequences of that are going to be firing? It's not good enough. It's not near enough. The religious zealot, he only understands fear and pain. We should be happy about what's going on right now. I am, but this is not near enough. It is time to start sending people to prison. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, I want to show you something. See that? That's my watch. Now, that's a Wasson watch. Amazing, beautiful watch. My wife loves it. I didn't buy the watch because it's nice, although it is. I didn't buy the watch because, you know, it's made by a Marine, guy who runs Wasson, Marine, Paul, wonderful man. I got a Wasson watch because they support my values loudly and proudly. How many watch companies out there that make high-end quality watches like this, how many watch companies out there will speak out on behalf of the unborn unapologetically? Can you name one? I can only name one. It's Wasson Watch. That's where I will get every watch I have from now on. You want one? Put your money where your morals are. Great gift. 10% off. WassonWatch.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 10% off. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Have you ever heard of Colony Ridge? It's an interesting little spot, and it's something you definitely should have heard about. In fact, I'm assuming you're going to be hearing more about it in the coming days. Joining me now to discuss it is Spencer Lindquist, wonderful investigative reporter with the Daily Wire. Hey, Spencer, what's Colony Ridge? It sounds lovely.
Colony Ridge is anything but lovely. It is a 60-square-mile development just north of Houston. And it covers 33,000 acres for context, and it is set to reach a population of 250,000 people, a 250,000 people. That's larger than Knoxville, Tennessee, larger than Boise, Idaho, or Scottsdale, Arizona. And it is built on systematically attracting illegal aliens inside Texas, into the interior of our country. And we've seen the results of it. We've seen criminality. We've seen these raids now in Colony Ridge from ICE and from the Texas Department of Public Safety. And they've been rounding up criminal illegal aliens, including child sex offenders, drug runners, and people who are allied with the cartels.
Spencer, could you rewind to the very beginning and bore me with the details and explain to me how 250,000, many of whom are illegal, were able to set up a 60-square-mile shop inside of the red state of Texas? How did this happen?
Well, we first visited Colony Ridge in 2023, and we dropped our first investigation on it in September of that year. It's impossible to really nail down the precise population figures, but we do know that they are targeting 250,000, and that's the number they'll reach if they are allowed to. And really what we've seen is that this is an industry. Mass immigration is a business. It's a business from the cartel coyotes on the southern border to the resettlement agencies that DOGE is now looking into that dump migrants into American communities. And it's a business for Colony Ridge and the developers John and Trey Harris, brothers there, who have profited off of mass immigration. And they have completely, irreparably damaged a once quiet Texas community. They tell people that they can own land in America. That's the language they use. Of course, it's all in Spanish, not in English. And they also say that you can buy in Colony Ridge without a social security number. And this is something that has been allowed to happen. It flourished in Texas for years until the Daily Wire began reporting on it. And then we saw a series of crackdowns. We saw a Texas legislature special session on the matter. We saw a lawsuit from the Department of Justice and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau alleging that there are predatory lending practices. We saw a similar lawsuit from the Texas Attorney General. Now we're seeing these ICE raids, and we've seen swift action from the Trump administration. But this was allowed to flourish for years, not in Illinois, not in California, not in New York, but in Texas, the epitome of a red state.
Do they have a government? I mean, do they have a mayor, a city council? Do they have people in charge who are looking the other way?
This is a company, really, and it's a land development. They have this interesting legal designation. They've got what's called an MMD, and effectively what it is, it's a legal arrangement that they lobbied for through the Texas legislature, and it gives them certain powers, almost quasi-governmental powers. They don't have their own police force. They don't have a city council, but they do have the ability to tax their residents. And we've seen some interesting use of those taxpayer dollars. We broke a story on this last year, or perhaps in 2023, actually, on the nature of these taxes and where exactly they went, how they flowed back into the pockets of people who are tied to the developers. But all that's to say that this is something that was allowed to happen for years upon years. And really, we only saw action on it once we brought the scrutiny against this development through our investigations.
Okay, so the Trump administration, they've got ICE in there. They're digging out the dirt balls. Do you have any sense, Spencer, because you've done all the reporting on it, 250,000 people, they're not all illegal, are they? How many people need to be cleared out of this place?
It's impossible to know exactly how many people live there, and it's impossible to know exactly how many of them are illegal aliens. Right now, we estimate that there's probably anywhere from 70,000 to 100,000 people there, and of course, there's that trajectory that'll carry it to 250,000 if they're allowed to continue. But right now, we've seen that there were 90 illegal aliens who were captured in these raids yesterday. There was other illegal aliens that were captured before that, including a Guatemalan human smuggler who feds say was responsible for a mass casualty event when illegal aliens that he was smuggling into the United States got killed when a tractor trailer crashed. There was also various different multiple murderers, alleged murderers who were wanted by the international police. There is an illegal alien who said that who admitted, actually, that he was guilty to killing a woman at gunpoint in Colony Ridge. And then just yesterday, there was an MS-13 member who'd been deported from the United States seven times. On seven different occasions, he invaded our country and came back and was deported. He led police on a seven-hour manhunt after he is allegedly fatally stabbed an individual. It's no coincidence that these illegal aliens, many of whom were deported previously, and that they end up in Colony Ridge. The red carpet has been rolled out for criminal illegal aliens in Colony Ridge, and people have gotten rich off it, while many politicians unfortunately looked the other way until this was brought into the public eye through our reports.
Good grief. Tom Homan was at CPAC talking tough about all this stuff. Here he was.
Let me start out by saying this. If I offend anybody today, I don't give a shit. Don't care. The media in the back room, I'm sure I'll be reading a lot of hit pieces on me tomorrow. I don't give a shit what you think about me. I wake up every day for the last 4 years pissed off because the Dwight administration took the most secure border in my lifetime and unsecured it on purpose, right? I worked for 6 presidents starting with Ronald Reagan. Every president I ever worked for took steps to secure the border. Even Clinton Obama took steps to secure the border because they clearly understood you can't have national security without border security. They got it. Joe Biden's the first president in history of the nation who came into office and unsecured the border on purpose. So for 4 years, I wake up every day pissed off. That changed November 5th.
Spencer, he's obviously not playing around because now they're arresting business owners as well.
That's right. The ICE, under the leadership of course, the Trump administration and of Tom Homan in particular, you're right, they're not messing around. They're not messing around in Colony Ridge. They started deporting people after just the first 7 days of being in office. They started deporting people in Colony Ridge, and then they had this raid. And yes, they're also going after business owners. We saw this in the Rio Grande Valley, where there was a bakery that had employed 8 illegal aliens illegally. And they were found to be harboring illegal aliens. That, of course, is not legal. So they could be facing jail time for this. And this gets back to a core point that illegal immigration is a business. It's one big industry. And unfortunately, there are corporate interests in this country that profit from cheap labor. And in order to seal the border, of course, deportations are one solution. Another potential solution is cutting off the economic incentives that bring people across the border and that lead corporate interests to hire people for cheap labor.
Spencer, we are now seeing resistance groups putting names and addresses up of ICE guys in places like Los Angeles. What can be, what will be done about this stuff?
There are radical activist classes in cities like Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and various different places across the country. And we should expect them to continue attempting these types of radical actions to target and clearly endanger law enforcement and members of ICE. So I imagine that the Department of Justice is looking into these cases. I imagine that the federal government is not going to take any of these threats lightly, because these are federal agents who are enforcing federal law, oftentimes enforcing federal law in contradiction of the wishes of states like California or New York or other sanctuary jurisdictions. And it's no surprise, unfortunately, to see these types of radical extremists trying to target members of law enforcement. I expect it to continue unless the Department of Justice or the federal government writ large puts a stop to it.
Spencer, I appreciate it. Come back soon.
Thank you.
All right. Let's change your cell phone real quick, shall we, before we get on to other things. Your cell phone, your cell service. You don't need Verizon. You don't need AT&T. You don't need T-Mobile, because Pure Talk exists, and not only will they save you a pile of money, they share our values. They promote our values. I've had dinner several times with the boys at Pure Talk. They bring Medal of Honor recipients to dinner. They get veterans back on their feet. And you can have this phone service for like half of what you're paying now. Average family saves like $1,000 a year. My bill got cut in half. I was with T-Mobile. My bill got cut in half. Go. With a qualifying purchase right now, you get a free iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy. PureTalk.com/JesseTV is where you go. Get a new phone. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Well, all the world leaders are showing up at the White House now. Macron shows up, British PM, Starmer, I don't know how to say his stupid British name. He's showing up on Thursday. They're all showing up to kiss the ring, kiss up Donald Trump, and look, Here's what's happening right now globally. Let's just have a talk about it. Trump is attempting, again, big things. We've talked about this many times. Trump intends to do big things during his four-year presidency. He just does. He wants to do big things. He wasn't joking about Greenland. He wasn't joking, obviously, about the Gulf of America. He wasn't joking about the Panama Canal. And he's not kidding when it comes to realigning things with trade and tariffs. He's dead serious. And when it comes to Europe, he's dead serious about that as well. The United States of America has for decades provided all of Europe's defense. If you ever look at the numbers, we provide about 90% of the national defense for the entire continent of Europe. It has gone one way. It has been one-sided. And Trump expressed a lot of frustration with that during his first 4 years. He was always whipping NATO. You're supposed to spend this, we're providing everything. You're supposed to spend that, we're providing everything. And now he's pressing them, and he's pressing them hard because he intends to realign that situation, a situation that has only gone one way, with American taxpayers footing the bill for the defense of socialist European countries. And let's discuss that part. There is a chance during this 4 years that we will see some kind of a realignment of American foreign policy, period. And that realignment may be difficult for you or me. I don't know what it's going to look like. It may be difficult for us to take in because it may be such a radical departure from where we've been. But let's discuss a little bit of the why when it comes to that. Should we have a close relationship with the UK? But pause for a moment. I'm an England fan. You know, if you've ever listened to this show for any length of time, I love the people. I love the country. I love the history. I'm an England fan, right? So it's not an anti-England thing. But should the United States of America closely align itself with a country that arrests people for Facebook posts? We are the land of the free. We have been the vanguard of freedom around the globe for a very, very, very long time. We are proud of that. We brag about that. How do we continue to have a relationship like this with the country that arrests people for speech? They're doing the same stuff in Germany. How do we continue to remain allies with this country? You know, people yell and scream and rant and rave about Trump talking to Putin, which we'll get to that in a moment, about what happened earlier today. They rant and rave about all that, and I understand that. I understand for a lot of Americans, it can be such a radical thing to even talk to Russia's leader. We grew up with the Soviet Union's our enemy, all that stuff. I understand the feelings people have, but what's the real point that people have a problem with Putin about? What is it? Well, Putin's a tyrant. He is. Putin arrests his political opponents. Putin doesn't allow people to speak out against him. So you don't want us to have a good relationship with Russia. I get it. I'm right there with you. Then why do we have a good relationship with the UK? That stuff's happening now. The world is changing, and these Western countries are turning evil and turning evil quickly, just like we were under Joe Biden. Should we continue this relationship? Now, speaking of Russia, Ukraine, and all these things, Trump had already talked earlier about getting our hands, because we spent so much money in Ukraine, getting our hands on some of these minerals.
I will be meeting with President Zelensky. In fact, he may come in this week or next week to sign the agreement, and which would be nice. I'd love to meet him. We'd meet at the Oval Office. So the agreement's being worked on now. They're very close to a final deal. It'll be a deal with rare earths and various other things. I think the war can end soon. Within weeks.
And he did it. We got the minerals. Happened earlier today, a few hours ago. Of course, this is something that everybody should celebrate. Everyone should celebrate an end to this horrible, horrible butchery over there in Ukraine. Not just for the lives lost, but shoot, if we're going to look at it purely selfishly, for our treasure. It's our money. It's your money. The American people are still struggling right now. The inflation numbers are bad. American people are not making ends meet. We still have record credit card debt. People have drained their savings. It is not the job of the American taxpayer to support a non-NATO country because they got invaded by Russia. It is simply not. In no way is it your job to provide for them when you can't afford eggs. Plus, like I said, the horrible, horrible carnage is awful. It's unspeakable carnage. Now, the problem is adjusting the thinking of not just the American people, but American politicians. I mean, we have American politicians like Tom Tillis saying things like this.
So, look, I'm a Republican. I support President Trump, and I believe that most of his policies on national security are right. I believe his instincts are pretty good. But what I'm telling you, whoever believes that there is any space for Vladimir Putin in the future of a stable globe, better go to Ukraine, they better go to Europe, they better invest the time to understand that this man is a cancer and the greatest threat to democracy in my lifetime. This is important to every single one of you. If you believe that Ukraine is a country an ocean away and not relevant to our national security, think again. The world is small. The world is watching. The strength of our alliances are on the line, and the future of democracy in the world is on the line if we do anything less than defeat Vladimir Putin.
Defeat Vladimir Putin. They say these things all the time. Defeat Vladimir Putin. Defeat Vladimir Putin. How? Vladimir Putin took parts of Ukraine, the parts he wanted. We've spent 3 years, well, the Ukrainians have spent 3 years and our money trying to get him out. They haven't been able to get him out. So what would Tom Tillis like us to do? That's one. Two, Putin's the greatest threat to democracy. Now, as I just explained, I don't like Putin at all. I don't care. I don't like any tyrant who arrests his political opponents. I hate Putin. I hate Zelensky. He did the exact same thing, canceled elections. I hate Joe Biden. Exact same reason, arrested his political opponent. I hate tyrants. But why is Putin a threat to our democracy? Russia has an economy that's roughly the size of Texas's economy. Their birth rate is embarrassing. They are not threatening our democracy. You could argue pretty easily the United States government over the last 4 years is a far greater threat to our democracy, even though we're not a democracy, a far greater threat to that than anything Vladimir Putin has done. But instead, we have these nutball loser senators like Wicker talking about having the guy executed.
Do you think that Putin can be trusted in these negotiations?
No. Putin is a war criminal and should be in jail for the rest of his life, if not executed.
Friggin' grief. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some midterm election stuff. Before we do that, let me talk to you about getting a good night's sleep every single night. A good night's sleep just changes everything, changes your entire outlook on life. Now, how can you guarantee that? I know there's a bunch of stuff you can take to sleep. I get that. All kinds of stuff. Doctor will prescribe you something. You can walk at any pharmacy, gas station, give you something. But all that stuff, all of it, they all have the same thing in common. You wake up and feel like crap. Not with Dream Powder from Beam, because it's natural. It's a cup of hot chocolate, delicious hot chocolate. Mine's cinnamon chocolate. Drink it before bed, drift off to sleep, sleep like a little bitty baby every single night, and wake up feeling good. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I hope you don't have election fatigue. I know we just had a big one and we're all feeling pretty good right now, but the midterms cometh, and that right soon. They are almost here. The primaries are already going to start gearing up, and traditionally, The party that holds the White House loses seats during the midterm. That is the very traditional way of thinking about politics in this country. It's gone that way almost every single time. So joining me now is somebody, I don't call very many people elections experts, but Seth Keschel most definitely is. He's got a Substack that's awesome. Captain K's Corner, because he's a former Army captain, Afghanistan veteran. Okay, Seth, you put out a guide, way too early guide for the 2026 midterms. How are we looking?
You already said it. You know, political science tells us that we're going to face some major headwinds. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't play it. You know, my dad always told me that you play the games for a reason. And three times since the New Deal, political coalitions began. We're talking 1934. The president's party has gained seats in the House. So three out of 23 midterms, the president's party has gained. That happened most recently in 2002. But the average loss for the president's party in the House is 27 seats on average. Now, there was a very bad loss for Republicans in 2018. Biden managed to only lose 9 seats. But, you know, if we lose 27 seats, then the swing is going to be 54. It's going to be a Democrat House majority of 242 to 193.
Okay, so how do we lose? Like, how do we avoid that kind of loss? Because that would be horrible.
So we've got a little bit of help. As the end of my article starts to bring up, the Democrats know they're losing ground, especially in the Midwest. Now, that may be more pertinent to Senate races and for the 2028 presidential race. But you've already got Gary Peters deciding he's not going to run for re-election to the Senate, and Tina Smith in Minnesota. Peters is from Michigan. But Smith in Minnesota is not running for Senate re-election either, and both of those seats should be Democrat holds in a normal midterm year. But all the party registration numbers continue to accelerate in a Republican trajectory. If you remember our talks before the election, I was using voter registration by party to accurately peg that election, which I got all 56 races right. So we can buck this trend, number one, by letting the enemy continue to make the mistakes, just like Napoleon said. Number two, identifying which races are most critical that we hold and selecting good candidates for primaries. I use North Carolina as a good example. A lot of people are frustrated with Tom Tillis, who's usually one of the weaker Republican senators that we have. I do expect him to be hardcore America First the next 2 years. But if he takes on a primary challenger, it needs to be one, first and foremost. It needs to be one that can win the general. So the risk is unseating somebody who's probably a good fit for a suburbanized general electorate and replacing him with somebody who may not win, like Mark Robinson. But really, in the Senate, there's only two seats I'm concerned about that Republicans hold, and that's North Carolina and Maine. So I don't see any way Trump's second half of his term will have less than 52 Senate seats.
Okay, well, at least there's that. Speaking of mistakes Democrats make, I turn on the television every single day, or more accurately, social media, and I see one Jasmine Crockett.
Like, and we know, like, this isn't me trying to throw shade. These are just the facts. Mm-hmm. When you look at who's voting for who, the less educated folk, and when I say educated, I'm not even talking about formal education. I'm talking about people that literally don't want to read and enlighten themselves on facts. Mm-hmm. Those are the people that typically vote for the Republicans, and it's one of the reasons that we have to stop writing in theses as Democrats, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we want to give you every single little detail that we can find so that you can have all the information. But the reality is that the average person that is going out there and voting, they're not paying attention to that.
Seth, am I outside of my mind to think that she is just absolutely wonderful for us, and I smile every time I see her on television?
Absolutely. She belongs on a Mount Rushmore of elected Democrats that really do great service for Republican candidates. Now, unfortunately, some of them have been primaried out by Democrats who recognize the strategic danger they pose to their own party. But, you know, just as soon as they got rid of Cori Bush, we've got Jasmine Crockett becoming a prominent name on the left. So she'll probably continue to return to Congress as long as her district remains drawn as it is. But she will also continue to drive suburbanites back to the Republican Party. She'll probably further piss off minority males who went to Republican candidate Trump in bigger numbers than they've gone probably since 1972 for Richard Nixon. So I'm with you on that we have a lot of people like that. We need to continue to give a microphone.
Let's rewind a little bit, Seth, because there's something I am curious about, and I know many people are. How did we win this amazing election in November? Donald Trump even won the popular vote. It really felt like a big sweep. yet our majority in the House is not very big. Those two things don't add up for a lot of people. Can you break that down for us?
Absolutely. Now, number one, we have the organic reasons why that would be. So now Donald Trump is one of the most famous people on the planet since the time of Christ. Now, that helps him probably get several million, 5 or 10 million votes more than a standard Republican would have gotten. And a lot of times when minorities or people that don't belong to a party start voting for a new party, that transition doesn't follow for the whole ticket. It might go at the top of the ticket. So a lot of the people that became 90s and 2000s Republicans went over for Reagan, but it took them a while to buy the whole ticket. So we have some of that going on. And that can explain some of the down ballot issues with states like New Jersey or New York, for example. But then we also have the issues with our election laws. Now, automatic voter registration, expanding vote by mail to universal, and authorizing ballot harvesting with an extended early vote period, those things go hand in hand with guaranteeing that a state will appear in blue state status. What do I mean by that? Well, you have New Hampshire is the only state that Harris won that doesn't automatically register voters. So Trump won non-automatic voter registration states 248 electoral votes to 5. So once you start corrupting the voter rolls and dishing out mail-in ballots, you have opportunity to go all the way down ballot. I think 3 or 4 Senate seats are very questionable: Wisconsin, Michigan, Nevada, and possibly even Arizona. And then you look at the U.S. House. Well, we have courts that are getting involved in redistricting, and they're going after Republican states, supposedly on racial grounds. Now, we lost a seat in Alabama and another one in Louisiana. They were both solid Republican-held congressional seats, and those flipped. And then, of course, the opposite happens where nobody breaks up the gerrymanders in the blue states. And then we have the blue state redraws that are different from the past decade when Trump went into office with more than 240 House seats. So our ceiling is a lot lower than that. And then you combine the states that have reckless election laws. Some of the races like Maine, 2nd Congressional District, really stand out to me. And, of course, the seats in California that flipped in December. Honestly, any candidate claiming a seat in December should really be hesitant to celebrate that publicly. It was really an embarrassing thing. And any Republican to concede a race like that has no business even running for office.
Seth, talk to me about Trump's plan or hope, the plan we hope he has for some new arrivals, Africans?
So we have the Afrikaners, the South Africans. Now, not all white South Africans are Afrikaners, so we're talking about those primarily of Dutch, but also French and German ancestry who historically have controlled and owned the farmlands. They are now coming under the heavy fist of the South African government, which has passed laws that would allow the government to confiscate their farmlands without compensation. So you have the Trump administration rolling out ideas to bring them in under refugee status. Now, I commented to your producer that this is right up your alley based on the stuff that you tweet about, because the Democrats have been big on using immigration as a political weapon. Now, you can look at Springfield, Ohio, which really backfired for them there. But in Minnesota, they've guaranteed that within a couple decades that the Somalian population that they've imported into Minneapolis will continue to produce Democrat dividends and probably keep that in the blue column long term. So this population, given that they're mostly Dutch, you can look at Western Michigan as a good example. You're probably looking at least a 3-2 Republican electorate. So if you were to bring in 2.5 million adult Afrikaners, which there's not many more than that to begin with, and turn some of those into voters, maybe 60% into voters, you could lock down certain states depending on where they go to fill in these depopulated industrial areas in northern Pennsylvania, western Michigan, or in Wisconsin. So I think that that's an example, just like Cubans, Venezuelans, and Vietnamese voters who are coming to America to flee from some sort of persecution or tyranny, of people that we should be looking to integrate if we are indeed looking at immigration merit.
Who's the 2028 guy going to be? Excuse me. You think it's going to be J.D.?
I think it's going to be Vance. You know, a lot of people were on the fence about J.D. Vance. I polled my audience back in the summer, and about 40% really liked him, and some people didn't like him, and other people were sort of on the fence. But I think that the answer is, you've heard people all the time when they want to debate politics, they'll say, well, I didn't vote for your guy, but I hope I vote for him to be reelected. Well, what they're saying is they hope that the next 4 years for America are good years. So I would say that if anybody other than J.D. Vance were the nominee in 2028, then that would suggest that these 4 years that Trump is president did not go as planned and have gone completely off kilter to where somebody else even has an opening to run for president. There is the belief that vice presidents are not successful running immediately for for president, but honestly, with the exception of Harris, most of those vice presidential candidates have run a pretty solid race. Hubert Humphrey got blown up in 1968, but it was mostly because Johnson was so unpopular, he knew he couldn't stand for re-election. But I think that Vance, especially given that he'll only be 4 years into a Republican cycle of the presidency, has a very good chance. And my floor for J.D. Vance is 262 electoral votes. I think he's got all of Trump's 2020 states. I think he's got Georgia, and I think he's got Arizona with the suburban Republican coalitions, which means that he's already on the putting green, as far as I'm concerned, for 2028 for being elected. Pennsylvania could be tough if it's Josh Shapiro, who's his opponent, or Michigan may be tough if it's Gretchen Whitmer, and I am very confident Gretchen Whitmer is going to be in the field in 2028 because she did not express any interest in running for Gary Peters' soon-to-be open Senate seat in 2026, which would be a layup for her.
Seth, thank you, man. I appreciate it. All right. Lighten the mood. Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about these people not figuring things out, how they're religious zealots, what might the midterm elections be like. I don't know. I'm not quite so sure these people get it.
We can't let them continue their lies and their distractions. We can't let them deport the millions of families across this country who have been doing the work that keeps our economy going every day. We can't let them scapegoat and criminalize immigrants who contribute, who are our neighbors, our friends, our churchgoers, our community around us that we deeply love. Immigrants are us. Immigrants are us, and we all deserve respect and dignity. If you look at the food that's on your table, think about who picked it. If you look at your homes, think about who built them. If you look at your vulnerable elders and your kids, think about who's taking care of them.
They just can't help themselves. Don't you want to keep your slaves? I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.